This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 199. Can a comic collector of 20 plus years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Super friends, Matt, too many talons, the fables are off to Toyland, QX Machina, and the contest continues. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, March 25th, 2012. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs. But you should subscribe via iTunes, where you can leave us a review.
And you can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Well, as we announced last week, there are these big events coming up. Next week is our 200th episode. We're going to C2E2 in Chicago in mid-April, and of course, Free Comic Book Day is fast approaching. That's May 5th. So we're having a big party, but you're getting the presents in our big contest. AnnouncerBot, tell them what you could win!
A Wolverine bobblehead figure. A Night Owl Classic Watchman figure. A Silver Age Perry White figure. A 24 TV series trading card set. Variant covers. And the Green Arrow Quiver by Kevin Smith hardcover. Pictures of all the prizes will be on the website. Back to you, Mark.
So how do you win? Well, you can like or share the Facebook link for this week's episode, or retweet the tweet for this week's episode, or comment on this week's episode at sfpodcastnetwork.com. And if you do all three, you can triple your chances to win.
Mark, we had a problem with the Twitter last week.
Yeah.
So we're going to make last week's prize still this week's prize, which is the Wolverine bobblehead figure. And we will look at both this week's postings and last week's postings
right.
for entries for the Wolverine bobblehead figure. And our prizes are all courtesy of our good friends at Pack Rat Comics.
I've been collecting comics for over 20 years, and no one matches the quality and value of Pack Rat Comics in Hilliard, Ohio. Jamie and Teresa have your favorite comics in stock, along with action figures and all kinds of comic collectibles, along with a huge lower level filled with long boxes of older titles at great prices. Pack Rat is well organized, clean, and welcoming to new customers. They also hold regular events, including a mini convention for the upcoming Free Comic Book Day. Special guests this year include Ernie Hudson from the Ghostbusters franchise and Noel Fisher from Twilight, along with over a dozen artists. So check them out on the web at packratcomics.com, facebook.com/packratcomics, or call 614-527-8450, or just drop by. They're on Latimer Street in Hilliard, Ohio, open 7 days a week. I trust Pack Rat for my weekly comic book order, and so should you. Back to you, Mindy.
And again, in order to win, all you have to do is like or share the Facebook link for this week's episode, retweet the tweet for this week's episode, or comment on the episode at sfpodcastnetwork.com. If you do all three, you get three chances to win.
Justice League number 7 by Johns and Ha. Well, let's do the splash page count. We got 3 single-page splashes and 1 double-page splash. Of course, it's amazing how much plot you can get in without Jim Lee doing the artwork.
Oh, so this was the first one without him?
Exactly.
Is that right?
So we're now in present day. Of course, the question is, if so, why is Hal Green Lantern? Because he's not Green Lantern really in his own title. It's supposedly happening at the same time. Already having continuity problems. Steve
maybe
Trevor.
This is after the current Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Story.
This is slightly later.
Maybe this is
later,
future
earlier.
Day.
Yeah. So Steve Trevor is introduced as the liaison to the Justice League. He's head of Argus, which is the Advanced Research Group Uniting Superheroes, and you only know that because of a patch on his arm. Now, there was a character named Argus, because I was wondering if this was a group that we had seen before, just a character named Argus that came out of the Bloodlines event in 1993, one of the many annual crossover events where a bunch of new characters are introduced that quickly fell off the face of the earth. So the world thinks the Justice League is this great team. Cyborg is acting kind of as Wikipedia for the team. Every time they need information, he can just bring it up. Green Lantern gives everyone umbrellas because they're in the rain, so he just whips up some construct umbrellas.
And Aquaman's like, I don't need an umbrella.
To the point where, from this press conference, Trevor is asked, well, why don't they just do the government's job? Because they're so great at all this stuff. They could fix healthcare and education. And meanwhile, at a congressional hearing, they're grilling Trevor because they want more control over the Justice League. And Trevor says, well, I'll go tell the League you don't trust them. I wonder if they'll find out, especially with, you know, X-ray vision. And they're like, oh, no, that's okay. We'll do whatever you want, Mr. Trevor. Sorry.
You know, it really strikes me that the Justice League in this continuity is almost like a bad guy organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the government's afraid of them, and Steve wasn't really very nice, and it was just weird.
It's much more like Stormwatch, in a way. It's this organization that the government kind of can talk to, but has no control over, and they can basically do whatever they want.
And apparently the government is bribing them with supplies or something.
Yeah.
It's very weird and very un-Justice League-like.
Right. And the Justice League, in a way, needs them because they have to keep up their part of the bargain of that, oh, well, they're super friends. They're great. And they're all only doing the best for us. So it's part of that. They got to keep that whole lie up.
Yeah.
So Trevor, at one point, Skypes Diana at the Watchtower, and while they're trying to talk, various people keep breaking in. Green Lantern breaks in saying, well, we need more supplies. Drop them off at the regular location. And Trevor says, you just got your supplies for the last month. Well, I needed some groceries at home, and, you know, I don't have time to do that.
Yeah.
At one point, Batman breaks in saying, why haven't you shut down that JLI yet? Which I think is very interesting because Batman was in JLI for the first couple issues and now he's out. And he told them in that last appearance, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, does he really feel JLI needs to be shut down? Or is that just the public persona of the JLA needs, or the Justice League needs to say, oh, that Justice League International, get rid of it. And Cyborg cuts in and says, well, would you tell my dad to stop hacking into their computer? So they never really get a chance between Steve Trevor and Diana to really talk. And so the team concept is really a sham. And of course, Trevor is in love with Diana. Lots of stuff going on in this issue. The next issue, we're going to see Green Arrow, which parallels the Silver Age, where Green Arrow was the first new member from the original group to join the Justice League. What I thought was interesting was they kept pushing in the solicits for this issue that find out who has joined the JLA. Well, other than Steve Trevor, kind of, not really anybody. But when they pushed the original concept for the reboot, they said, oh, there's going to be all these reserve members. And they showed reserve members like Adam, and it was a whole laundry list of other people who were going to be reserve members. And I thought we'd see them in this issue, but maybe in the next one, I don't know. I really like the artwork. It's very similar to Howard Chaykin's artwork, I thought. Very similar in design. So the backup story for this, and it's going to be the backup story going forward for a while, is Shazam by Johns and Frank. So Dr. Savannah is tracking down these abduction cases where it turns out the wizard is just looking for the right candidate to be Shazam. And then Billy Batson is introduced to the new DCU, but he's not the nice kid we remember. He puts up a nice front, just kind of like the JLA in a way, But in reality, he's a pretty rotten kid, apparently.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that either.
Yeah.
But
I really don't like the preview artwork for what Shazam's going to look like.
Yeah.
I didn't like that at all. And by the way, they've made it very clear he won't be Captain Marvel. He will be Shazam. So this whole issue that's been going on forever between DC and Marvel for the name of the character, that's going away. He will be called Shazam and not Captain Marvel.
But he won't be able to introduce himself as Shazam.
Exactly.
Because then he wouldn't be Shazam anymore.
Right. Exactly. Batman number 7 by Snyder and Capullo. So Bruce returns after his ordeal with the Court of the Owls. Alfred finds this dead Talon in the ice, and Bruce goes ahead and tests him and finds out he's still alive because his body is laced with electrum from this deposit in his tooth. And apparently this has put in into his body that can take this electrum and it flows into the rest of his body. And there's this chemical that can reanimate tissue, and a spark can reanimate him. So it's kind of like making your own zombies in a way. And oh, by the way, he's Dick Grayson's great-grandfather. So Dick and Bruce have it out. And at one point, Bruce smashes him in the face, but he does it to knock out this electrum because it turns out Dick had this in his tooth. And he's never known that. Although how this would never have been seen before, surely in all the various tests, and all that nobody ever, there's this weird deposit in your tooth that we never knew about.
Yeah.
And we learned that Haley's Circus was used as a breeding ground for the owls. And Dick was at one point actually chosen to be the next Talon, but he was spared due to his parents' deaths and Bruce taking him away from the circus. So Bruce has realized now that Gotham has always been under the control of the owls. And then we cut back to the owls, and the owls have reactivated all the Talons in that crypt that we saw in the previous issue with all these coffins. And so hundreds of them are sent out to take back the city.
Yeah.
I know you're not as interested in this as I am.
I really am not. And I was so disappointed that now Nightwing isn't on it. But I imagine you liked that.
I did, actually. And speaking of Nightwing, Nightwing number 7 by Higgins, Barrows, and Borges. So this is Dick versus Psycho. And Psycho was another member of the circus troupe that was picked by the owls after Dick left, kind of like the backup. And he was found unworthy after all this torture was done on him. So they left him for dead with birds clawing at his eyes. And that's why he's been attacking Nightwing this whole time. We learned that Raya was in on it. We kind of got indications of that previous issue, but now we know. The circus is destroyed, and after Dick defeats Psycho, we see the same scene that we did in Batman number 7, but now from Dick's point of view. And this is really the beginning of this Court of Owls crossover. It's going to be in some of the books, the Batman books, but apparently not in Detective, at least based on the solicits, not in Batman Dark Knight. For the most part, the ones we're still getting is where the Court of Owls is going to happen. So it's going to go into, I believe, Batman and Robin.
A fairly substantial crossover.
I know I'm still not a big fan of doing all these crossovers, but this seems a little more organic than some. It seems
Makes sense. And if I liked it in the whole continuity of the Bat universe, it might be different. But I just feel like they had all this backstory that they kept from the New 52.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, all this stuff that had been, you know, we still have Damien, we still have this, we still have that. And yet now you're introducing this whole new concept that we've never heard of before.
Right.
That's supposed to go along with that previous backstory that we do know about.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like it.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to agree to disagree on that.
Yeah.
Fables number 115 from Vertigo by Willingham and Buckingham. So Therese is off for her adventure with the toy boat. She wants to go home, but toy boat takes her to her new kingdom, which is referred to as various names by Discardia, but at one point they referred to it as Toyland. It's the land of broken toys.
I immediately thought of the Island of Misfit toys, but...
Who ever heard of a Charlie in the Box? So, meanwhile, Mrs. Spratt tells her big lie to the others, where she was starved by Mr. Dark, and Holt saved her. But in reality, we know what happened. But she's getting back into the Fable's good graces by doing this. And there's a one little subplot where Beauty and Beast may actually stay in Haven with their baby. At least it's being brought up. And generally, in these titles, when something like this is brought up, it ends up happening.
Mm-hmm.
So Snow finds out that Teresa's gone, and she goes to find help. Then we have a backup story where Lily is looking through the magic expectacles, and this is all going on in the Greater Kingdom land of Oz, and she sees the near future with Bufkin being executed, so they need to save him. But this other character, which I could only figure like an older soldier, I don't know what he is, but he looks like this old soldier, and he declares that Bufkin's a martyr, and now he's in charge.
Yes.
And they're going to go to war.
That won't work out well.
No. Star Trek Legion of Superheroes, number 6 of 6 by IDW and DC, and that's by Roberson and Moy. So Vandal Savage has Kirk and Legion of Superhero members in the agony booths. They won't talk. And then Kirk gives this big speech basically to tick off Savage. Well, you'll always be a caveman and you're afraid of the future. And the future in our continuity is so wonderful and blah, blah, blah. While Spock, McCoy, and other members of the Legion are in the past, and they're trying to free Q from Savage's prison, and Spock realizes they just need to find a loophole in the magic or whatever, the contract that keeps Q trapped.
I would have liked to have known more about that, how... Yeah. He trapped Q.
It's never really
because
explained.
Because it doesn't really make sense that he could.
No.
That a caveman could,
right,
when Picard couldn't.
Right. So, caveman Savage arrives, and Cosmic Boy breaks the caveman inhibitor collars, and they start fighting among each other instead of fighting are the good guys here.
Because they realize that they're really all in enemy tribes of each other.
Right. And so Saturn Girl just puts them all to sleep. And McCoy jabs Caveman Savage with a hypo to put him out. Then Brainiac 5 has figured out the loophole, and so Q is out. And we have a Deus Ex Machina moment, which is what you get with Q, and he just resets everything. And now the two universes are separate, and Savage and Flint never became one being. So Q, in the end, goes to see Flint, who, as I said, never became Savage. That was about it.
And they chit-chat for a while and have tea, you know? It's like,
yeah.
Okay.
Which is what you're going to get with the Deus Ex Machina ending, where it's like, okay, and that's it.
Well,
the
end. And in something like this, you know it all has to go back
right
to the way it was at the
yeah
beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, that just, you couldn't do anything else.
No. I thought this was a cute concept. I'm a little worried because now they're going to do a next generation Doctor Who crossover.
Well, as long as it doesn't involve Q, we'll be
yeah
okay. Nah,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So before we get out of here, it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? I'm going to give you a clue, Mark. It's not The Hunger Games
wow
or Twilight.
Wow. Was there anything else going on in entertainment this week?
Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
Go.
TV related?
Yes.
Is it the cast of a show?
Yes.
Is it on one of the three major networks?
Yes.
Okay, I was going to assume Mad Men there. Sorry.
No.
Okay. Is it on ABC?
Yes.
Is it a procedural?
No.
Is it a comedy?
They seem to think so.
Okay. Is it a soap opera?
Yes.
Is it Desperate Housewives?
Yes. Oh, wait, 26 seconds?
I guess because of the big court. controversy.
And because it's the last season and the conclusion is going to be on.
Oh, okay.
So.
All right. Yeah.
Did you even know it's still on?
Yeah. That was the big, oh, that show's still on the air.
Oh.
So just want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including my blog about currently doing Hogan's Heroes and Star Trek The Next Generation. You can subscribe via iTunes, leave us a review, and remember to enter our big, big contest.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.